Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Saksoft Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vinay Menon from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, it's my pleasure to host the senior management of Saksoft. We have with us Mr. Aditya Krishna, Promoter and CEO, and Mr. Neeraj Kumar, CFO and COO of the company. Now, I hand over the call to Aditya, sir, for his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Vinay. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the second quarter and the first half of financial year 2026. Let me start off by briefing you on the key business highlights for the quarter, after which my colleague and our COO and CFO, Mr. Neeraj Kumar, will brief you on the financials. The technology sector continues to evolve rapidly with a strong shift towards AI-led transformation. Despite the global macro uncertainties, our company demonstrated a robust performance both sequentially and year-on-year, with strong growth in revenues and consistently improving margins. During this half-year, we continued our intelligent products and intelligent platforms portfolio through our AI accelerators. This has helped us in driving better predictability in our revenues. Under intelligent products, our portfolio has been expanded by two major accelerators, namely SACMOD, which is a composable framework for legacy modernization and system integration, and SACCelerate, which is a unified AIOps and FinOps automation platform for enterprises. Under intelligent platforms, our recent releases include Conversational AI, which enables voice-driven customer and employee experiences, and Emergency Care Agent, which delivers intelligent routing and a real-time 360-degree view for urgent customer support. These launches further strengthen our AI innovation roadmap and reinforce our focus on delivering next-generation enterprise capabilities. Building on this momentum, our customers continue to engage with us as partners, giving us the confidence that we can further grow our wallet share in their technology spending. Now, I would request my colleague Neeraj to give you the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Aditya, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time and joining our earnings call today to discuss the results of the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2026. For the quarter under review, we reported a revenue of INR 258 crores, with a growth of around 20% year-on-year. The operating EBITDA stood at INR 51 crores, which grew by around 38% year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins at 19.58%, an improvement of 250 basis points year-on-year. The net profit for the quarter was around INR 36 crores, which grew year-on-year by almost 38%, with the profit after tax margins being at 13.91%. For the first half of the financial year 2026, the revenue stood at INR 508 crores, representing a growth of around 22% year-on-year. The operating EBITDA stood at INR 96 crores, which grew by around 34% year-on-year, representing an EBITDA margin of about 19%, up by 175 basis points. The net profit stood at INR 68 crores, which grew year-on-year by 32%, with a profit after tax margin of 13.46%. During the first half of the financial year 2026, the U.S. contributed 44% of our total revenues, whereas Europe contributed 21%, and the remaining 35% came from Asia-Pacific and the other regions. We've maintained a well-balanced revenue composition with the on-site revenue mix at 44% and the offshore at 56%. Our revenue mix remained diversified across sectors. The BFS accounted for 31%, the emerging verticals 47%, logistics contributed 14%, and the commerce vertical 8%. Coming to some of our customer metrics, we have around 16 customers of US $1 million plus revenues. The total employee count stood at 2,653, out of which 2,430 were technical, with the utilization level of the employees, excluding trainees, being at 85% for the first half of the financial year 2026. This concludes the updates on the quarter, and we can now open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vikas Srivastav, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have three, four questions, so I'll just list them out. My first question was on the EBITDA margin, is this close to the new normal? Because, you know, we've been forecasting about 18%. Are we expecting a better margin going forward, somewhere in this range? Is it due to, you know, controlled sales SGA costs, or is it higher billing? That was my first question. My second question was, how's the year looking going ahead? We are already 7 months in a year, so what kind of annual year-on-year growth are we looking at in terms of turnover? My third question was on, you know, Vision 2030. While it's a very ambitious vision, but it's been there now for 2 years. Is it in the realm of reality, really? Because if I do a back-of-the-envelope calculation, to get there, we now need to do about 40% CAGR. Thank you. If I have more questions, I'll get back in the queue.
Thanks, Vikas. Let me answer in the same order. The EBITDA is higher this quarter because there is some sales cost which will catch up in the coming quarters. You know, we've hired a senior chief growth officer in on the West Coast. So he joined the beginning of quarter three. So his cost is not reflected. Plus, we have a couple of open sales positions which we need to fill. So while there is an EBITDA of 19%, we must not take that as the EBITDA that we can expect going forward. 17 to 18% is more the norm that we should be looking at, in the coming quarters and the coming years. So that's the first question. The second one, in terms of revenue, you know, we've indicated that we would aim to do 1,000 to 1,100 crores in top line. That continues as of now, and EBITDA, 17 to 18% in the same, so which is about 170 crores to, you can do the math, approximately, that's that. Your third question was on
2030.
From a mathematics perspective, because you're right, it's a big CAGR, but what we are trying to do is grow 25-30% year on year, and we are confident that we'll have one big or two reasonably large acquisitions along the way, which will it will help us get to the 500 million. So that's our plan, you know, to get there. Very much on the cards. We still have a few years to get there. And if I look at where we are today, we're in a good space. We're in a good spot. You know, everything seems to be aligned. There is always elements of surprise which can, you know, come up, and you know that's what we have to, you know, as a management team, manage and mitigate that risk. But as of now, it's looking good.
Mr. Arun, I hope that answers your question.
Mr. Vikas. We might have lost Vikas.
Yes, sir. We will proceed with the next question. Just a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from Jyoti Singh from Aryan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand on the revenue growth side, like consistently we have delivered double-digit growth. So how is the demand shaping up and for H2, and especially in the BFS and emerging verticals? And also, what trend are you observing in a client tech budget, particularly around digital transformation and modernization side? And could you give some color on the deal pipeline and the visibility for Q3 and Q4? Thank you, sir.
Jyoti, our guidance is the same, you know, between 1,000 and 1,100 crores is where we hope to end this financial year. You know, that's where it is. And as we speak today, lots of conversations are happening with our existing customers, also some prospects. Deal pipeline, you know, is decent, in line with our guidance on revenue. On the digital transformation space, I would say there's a lot of interest in AI, especially when AI relates to productivity improvements. So we are seeing a lot of interest from our customers on how can AI help them be more efficient in their technology spending. And a lot of our focus is in that space. I would say 75% of our focus on the AI side is on productivity, and the balance 25% is on the agentic side, where customers want us to build agents for them to automate different workflows as well as make their customer experience, you know, better. So I hope that answers, you know, your question.
Yeah, sir. And sir, are we seeing any slowdown in particularly in term of discretionary spending among clients in Europe or the US?
There is, I wouldn't say slowdown. I would say there is some caution, you know, on taking big spending bets. So what we're seeing is customers are willing to, you know, spend, you know, continue with the project, but break it up into smaller projects rather than one big bang project. I think from that perspective, you know, there is, you know, a little bit of a pushback. Now, what that does is it reduces predictability to some extent. But, you know, for a company like ours, we would rather have multiple smaller projects than one big large project, because for us, stickiness is very important, and that provides us the stickiness that we need.
Okay. So, as you mentioned about this stickiness, so like our revenue concentration from top 10 client is around 58%. So what's your strategy to diversify and scale mid-tier accounts?
It will happen automatically. As we scale, Jyoti, the concentration will go down. I'm not concerned. Shilpa, if I did this for my customers, they'll throw me out. Huh?
Sir, over to you.
Jyoti, you were, I was answering your question. I hope I did it.
Yes, sir, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Vikas Srivastav, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Very fast. So my question was basically on the 1,000 to 1,100 crores target. Are you comparing it, Vinay, with the 507 crores you've done in the... Are you talking about operating income or consolidated revenue? You know, you have a half-year consolidated operating income of 507. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct, Vikas. You're asking Vinay or you're asking me, Aditya?
Anybody. Yeah. Sorry, Aditya.
I don't think Vinay works for the company.
Okay, obviously, I would also get sacked by you very soon by that standard.
No, but
I got the CFO's name wrong. My apologies.
Oh, Neeraj, okay. Yeah. So the question is, go ahead, Vikas, once again the question. I don't know if you heard my last answer because we lost you.
I did. You did mention that 1,000 to 1,100 crores is your target for the year. I'm saying that 1,000 to 11 crores, out of which have we done 507 operating income? Or is it first half, what number have we already achieved is my question. Is it 507 or is it higher? What is the first half number is what I'm asking. Is it 507 crores? Yeah.
Sorry, Vikas.
We'll have to
about the operating income. So
no, my question was, target was 1,100. What have we achieved in the first year? Is it 507? Are we discussing operating income here or total turnover?
No, operating income, 507.
So we are saying that 507 we've achieved. We could do 1,000 to 1,100. And if we achieve the top end of the target, which would mean a 20% growth 6 months to over 6 months. Just to get my numbers right.
That's correct.
Okay. My second question, Aditya, since obviously there's not a long queue, would you just touch upon the risks, opportunities, whatever your vision allows you to, in terms of the disruption and where the technology is moving as far as tech software is concerned? And what are the major risks, what are the major opportunities, and where do you see this in terms of your foresight or vision?
Let's look at the major risks. Today, we have 20 customers. Let's say we have 16 customers who are $1 million plus. Now, our growth is coming from increasing wallet share with these 16. And for me, the runway is massive, because we are small players in their wallet share. The risk here is if we get consolidated out. Okay, so this one of these accounts or a couple of these accounts do a vendor consolidation and, we lose out. So that's one risk. But the way we are managing that, Vikas, is proximity and closeness to the customer, constant visits, constant connection with the CIO, wherever possible with the CEO, so that if there is any thinking along the lines of vendor consolidation, we are in that phase to survive. So that's, a risk I see. Now, there also lies the opportunity, because the accounts that we're talking about, these 16 accounts, which are $1 million, these are big customers. These are customers like Honeywell. These are customers like Broadcom, where our wallet share is very small, and the ability to increase our wallet share is massive. And if we can do that, if we can get this right in a couple of accounts, even two or three accounts, our growth is easily, our growth targets are easily achievable. And that's where our focus is. Our focus is how can our client partners in these accounts become, make us more relevant to these customers, make us mission critical to these customers. You know, and with each passing quarter, we are making progress. If we continue in this direction, you know, the momentum will build and growth will build, and you know, numbers will not become a problem or not become a challenge, you know, like they have been historically.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will proceed to next question from the line of Arun, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is regarding, are we seeing any improved spends from existing clients?
Yes, I mean, most of our growth, 95% of our growth is coming from existing customers by increasing our wallet share with these customers. So customers might not be increasing their technology spending, but they're increasing their technology spending with us.
Okay. And the second question is relating to other expenses. Any reason for other expenses being low Q1Q?
So we had certain one-time expenses which were there in the previous quarter, quarter one. There was some acquisition-related expenses which were written off, and we had participated in some event for which we had to incur some expense. So that was the main reason for the other expense to come down in this quarter.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nitesh from Chris Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand how much would be our growth in terms of our dollar growth in CC terms? And assuming we would have got some benefit because of the INR depreciation versus all our major currencies in which we bill, so how much would that be, the benefit we've got from FX?
Yeah, so for the current quarter, Nitesh, out of the 4% odd growth quarter on quarter, around 1.5% is from the currency and 2.5% is the real growth which we have. And when I say currency 1.5%, that's across both the dollar and the GBP, which are two major operating foreign currencies.
Got it. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Sahil Sangvi, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for your opportunity. First of all, I wanted to understand what kind of hiring traction are we expecting for the next year, depending on, you know, the new business tractions.
You know, tech spending or our business is predominantly I would say symmetric. So if revenues goes up by 10%, headcount will also go up. Billable headcount will also go up by 10%. So we are targeting 25 to 30% CAGR. So that is what you can take as headcount growth also.
Got it, sir. And secondly, just wanted to understand our progress on the from the perspective of AI. Are we seeing deals in AI also?
Sorry, are we seeing what the last deals?
Are we seeing some deals happening in AI side also for our company?
Yes, for sure. We are seeing deals. Small deals are happening. No big deals are happening. We recently got a PO on a testing AI opportunity from a large bank in India. So yes. You know, we are seeing a lot of interest and customers are starting to spend money in AI.
Got it. That is helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from Vinay Menon from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a few questions from my side. One is, you've added a growth officer in the U.S. and any rationale on this and what can we expect from this? Like any progress in the U.S. front?
Your question was, we've added a growth...
Yeah, you added a growth officer in the U.S., in the West. So the idea behind it and what kind of traction can we expect from that?
U.S. continues to be our largest market, Vinay, and you know, we've been looking for a senior salesperson to align our efforts with our major customers. So all our client partners, U.S.-based, will report to this growth officer, and the growth officer's role is, how do I grow the U.S. revenue? And, you know, since that is our biggest market, it's a very important hire for us. You know, you should see some traction from him since he's a seasoned guy. You know, a seasoned professional who comes with many years of experience in the U.S. market. So we should see him hit the ground running.
Okay. Okay, that helps. And any possibility of an acquisition in H2, are we looking at any companies? Because it's been a year, I think, since our last acquisition. So anything in the pipeline?
Vinay, we're always talking to potential targets. Even as we speak, we're speaking to, you know, two companies. Early days, I would not say anything you know, on the verge of closing. But, you know, rest assured, if there is something that comes up which fits our criteria, you know, that we're always looking for, of capability build or customer acquisition, you know, we would definitely go for it.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thanks, Vinay.
Thank you. Next question is from Raj from RJF Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
When you say you want to grow 25 to 30% for next 3-4 years, so what gives you the confidence that you will be able to grow at such a high rate?
I'm basing the this number on the customer base that we have, you know, the 16 odd million dollar plus customers that we have, their technology spending, our size of wallet share in that technology spending, and the conversations that we're having with these customers to increase our wallet share. So a lot of our growth or projections of growth are coming from expanding our footprint in these accounts. And I would say that's where the confidence is coming from.
And do you have any oral commitments from them?
From what commitments?
Do you have any oral commitments from them?
No, no oral commitments.
Okay. So if you grow 25 to 30%, so you will reach around 200 crores of PAT in next 2 years. Is that calculation right, roughly?
We have done 68 crores of PAT in the first 6 months of this year. True. So if you extrapolate, I'm sure you're good at math, so I'm sure your number is right.
And about the acquisitions part, when do we plan to see the acquisition?
When do you want to see it? Well, you'll see it when we're ready that we've found the right company to acquire. So I can't give you a timeline for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Rohit, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on very good numbers. So, previous answer, you mentioned what are the risks. So, you mentioned that getting consolidated amongst their existing customers, vendors. So, I mean, this is a piece of how do you sort of work towards not letting that happen? So, if you can maybe give some examples or maybe share your perspective on that, where you were on the right side of the consolidation for your key customers or anything on that account.
Most customers, when they start a vendor consolidation exercise, they have two major objectives in mind. One is they want to reduce their cost. Okay. And second, they want to reduce the number of suppliers that they're dealing with, because sometimes the number of suppliers they're dealing with becomes very, very cumbersome. Now, we are in a good position, in these sort of exercises because of our size. The fact that we are in this industry still a small player in terms of the size of our business, the size of our revenues, we are able to be more agile, more responsive, and more flexible to customers' needs. So if the customer says, "Look, I want an outcome-based pricing. I want to start with a 20% reduction on day one," we're able to respond to it much faster than a company which is larger. Okay. Now, the challenge or the bigger risk is not winning this consolidation, but not being invited for a seat on the table. And that is what I said earlier by saying that we have to be very close to the customer. We have to be always aware of this exercise before it begins, so that we are able to prep ourselves as well as the customer to select us. So I think proximity to the customer, closeness to the customer is the only way we can minimize the risk of being consolidated out, or maximize the opportunity to be chosen.
Got it. And like you, that's very clear. Thank you. So one other question was, so we have about 16 customers who are more than $1 million. And within these 16 also, you were saying that you have a fair runway of growth. So will your growth be more top-ended, or will it be like the next in line, let's say $500 million to $1 million? Also, you are seeing strong growth. And so if you can just share that perspective also.
In all these 16 customers, our wallet share would be below 5%.
And what is, if that even you think is a number where beyond which you sort of you get difficult to grow?
So I don't think there is any problem for us to get to a 20% wallet share or a 25% wallet share, one in four, one in five, clearly. And so there, for us, the runway is quite significant. And this is percentage. In absolute terms, the numbers are much larger.
Sure. So I understand. And the other question was, so you mentioned, so like you said, that this year probably will be in that bracket between 1,000 crores-1,100 crores of revenue. And if I just take the current exchange rate of about 87-88, we'll be and use it for your listing, your vision of 500 million. So that's like about 4-4.5x from here. So you also mentioned that you expect a couple of acquisitions to add to the kitchen. Now, if for just for discussion purpose sake, let's say without acquisition, what is it that what kind of what is the kind of growth on an annualized basis you are thinking for the, let's say, for FY26 to 30, if assuming no acquisition works in a worst case scenario?
If I look at this year, now because it's easy to look at future years, but if I look at just this year, if we do 1,100 crores, we would have done 25% CAGR from last year.
Right.
Now, our goal is to equal or beat 25% year-on-year. So that's all I'm focusing on right now. If I can get that, I'm pretty sure along the way, we will see a significant size acquisition opportunity. And if we get that, we are hopes to the 500 million. Now, if we don't get an acquisition opportunity, maybe we can grow faster. Maybe we'll acquire a customer which is, you know, wanting to give us a significant amount of wallet share. So, you know, these are all ifs. I would not worry about that so much. I would worry more about how do I deliver this 25%, 30% year-on-year.
Perfect. And just on the acquisition bit, so, like, what are your, like, usually, given, like, if you get a big acquisition, so when you say big, what is the kind of number you're looking at? Like, $100 million or, similar to what we are, where we are, or what, I mean, just can you mention that? And then probably I'll ask my question.
All our acquisitions are typically capability acquisitions. And
right.
We look at anything between $10 million-$15 million in top line because that's all we can afford. We don't want to dilute capital. So $10 million-$15 million top line with an EBITDA which is better than where we are at is our normal yardstick to determine whether we want to go in for an acquisition or not.
Got it. So essentially, Aditya, what you're saying, if I have to sort of put it in another way, the bulk of the growth has to be driven by organic growth. So this, I mean, even a $15 million acquisition would be around 10% of your revenue where you are today, right? So it is not going to give you, I mean, so you are essentially saying it's all largely going to be driven by organic, even if you have two of such acquisitions. 80%, 75%, 80% will be all organic growth. Is that a fair statement to decipher from what you're saying?
Yes, that is a fair statement. Now, there is always a possibility we don't get an acquisition, we grow 25% year-on-year, we build up a little bit of a war chest, and in 2029, we find a company which is 50% of our size. Now, so these are all in the realm of possibility.
Of course.
You know, I would not rule anything out, but very clearly, we need to have the cash to be able to buy that business. Right now, we don't have the cash to buy anything other than $10 million-$15 million in top line.
Right. Right. No, no, fair enough. I totally understand. Thank you very much, and all the very best for the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Amit Jain from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Aditya, and congratulations on a good set of numbers, Aditya. Just one question, Aditya. You mentioned about the risk and about the vendor consolidation. So I can understand the advantage of being a small team, so you can be more agile and we stay close to the customer. But I think staying close is not enough. What exactly are we doing to become indispensable for these customers so that we remain, so that to increase our stickiness with these customers? So maybe if you can explain it a bit more on this.
In most large organizations, Amit, our customers, you know, the people who are dealing with us, who are on the customer side, you know, the CIOs, the CTOs, the director of engineering, the VP, you know, of technology, etc., whatever their titles are, in today's day and age, they all want to be more successful in their careers. Now, we always look at how can we make them more successful? How can we make their jobs easier? How can we make them progress in their organizations, because if we can do that, not only will we get more business from them, their business will also do well, and as it does well, we will get more business. So when I say proximity, closeness to the customer, this is what I mean. You know, make sure that they succeed in their jobs. The latest trends in technology we bring to the table for them, so that they can tell their bosses, you know, what is the latest on AI, what are the use cases on AI which will make sense for their business. You know, that's our role. You know, how do we, you know, make their, how do we strengthen their, you know, sort of stature in their organization. And for this, almost a couple of years ago, we had started this concept of centers of excellence, where we have 6 centers of excellence, which is led by senior leaders, and their role is only building capabilities and accelerators and demonstrating to our customers what we can do for them in terms of use cases for their business. So, for example, very recently, for one of our leading logistics customers, we showed them a demo of our logistics agent. Now, what the logistics agent does is it uses agentic AI to totally automate the workflow from requesting a quote for a shipment to dispatch, to tracking, to payment of the invoice. So, cutting-edge technology for their business with specific use cases is the job of the COEs. Now, if we can do that, we are able to strengthen the credibility of the customers that we are dealing with. They feel good about their jobs. They move up in the hierarchy, you know, and we become more relevant to their business.
And Aditya, one more thing, and we have been listening and reading a lot about, you know, about the threat to Indian IT industry, the service, also the way we have focused in the last so many years, and particularly that model is under threat. Now, there is a time, but now if we see the growth of large IT companies, this is settling off. We can see, we see the employment data, the kind of hiring they are doing. Is it safe to say that the mid or small size IT companies are at advantage vis-a-vis the large IT company? Maybe you can give more clarity on this.
I wouldn't say this is a phenomenon of the technology industry. Whenever there's a disruption in any industry, and AI is a disruption in the tech industry, whenever there's a disruption, the biggest loser is the market leader. You know, the small guys always gain. So that's what's happening here. You know, the big guys are losing out because of the disruption. Okay, and the small guys are winning. So it's not specific to technology. It's not specific to AI. It's, that's the way of the world.
And Aditya, one more risk, maybe I'm just, I may be wrong, but one risk which I can see in small companies is that person dependent. Like your relationship is maybe a person who, with whom, because of that, with that relationship, you have got that account. And assuming in the worst case scenario, that person leaves. Now, how are we hedging? And is there that kind of risk are you posing where it is dependent on a person specific relationship, that if person leaves that organization, maybe that account also goes with them?
There is no account in our business which is based on a personal relationship of mine. I'm too old for that. All my peer group are either dead or retired.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not talking about you, Aditya. I'm talking about, I'm sure you will be there. I'm not
then
talking,
who are you
about,
talking about?
No, I'm talking about, you know, see, when we hire some senior person, let's say, there is a, you know, at one side we are able to get some account, but there is also a risk when that person goes, obviously that relationship also goes. I'm just trying, I'm just trying to, you know, understand.
Amit, those days are, see, are you telling me that a sales guy can bring business when he walks in? Impossible. Impossible. See, look at it from a customer. I'm a customer. I'm not going to move every time the sales guy who's dealing with me, let's say I have Cognizant as a supplier. I'm dealing with a sales guy in Cognizant. Now that sales guy moves to another company. I'm not going to move my business. I'm going to stay with Cognizant, right? So it's a misnomer that a sales guy can take business away. Yes, a sales guy can open a door for you, but he cannot take business. Impossible.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Vikas Srivastava, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Aditya, my question is, the way we are growing and our war chest and our cash requirements, why do we declare dividend? Isn't the money being better used in the shareholders' interest to create reserves for more acquisitions and faster accumulation of money? That was one question. And a follow-up question, just a confirmation, that this H-1B issue and its changes haven't impacted us adversely, has it?
No, H-1B, we are not H-1B dependent at all, Vikas, so that's a non-issue as we speak. Now, regarding dividend, it's a school of thought, because a lot of shareholders want dividend, a lot of shareholders want bonus shares. So our job is to grow the business. Our job is to reward shareholders in the most ethical and prudent manner that we can. So we've always followed about a 10% consolidated profit payout as our dividend policy. So we would like to stick to that, because for some shareholders, dividend is important.
Okay, thank you. That was my last question. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Rohit.
Yeah, I think a couple of quarters back, I think there was this, I think last quarter or the quarter before that, I think we had spoken or we had said that probably there will be accelerated spends in order to pursue that growth in terms of hiring. And some of that has happened, and you mentioned some of it is yet to happen. So this first half, you also called out these margins are sort of slightly higher. But as we build out the next half and probably next year, adjusted for these spends, would you still hold on to the 17%-18% kind of margin which you guided, or you will probably see a period where you have to spend upfront and the margins may sort of, because that was what we had discussed a couple of quarters back. It's great that we've not seen that, but just wanted to understand, is that something that those costs have not yet come in and hence we are seeing that, or despite those costs, we have been able to maintain these margins and going forward also we'll be able to do it? Just wanted to get your sense.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, Rohit, some of the costs have, in fact, a lot of the costs have not come, which will come now. So you can take 17%-18%. Will 17%-18% dip further? I mean, our endeavor would be not to let it happen. So we want to pace our investments in SG&A to be commensurate with not only numbers but also management bandwidth. It's theoretically, you can say I'm going to hire five new sales guys, my EBITDA percentage will drop, but it's not very realistic, because you might hire the guys, but if you don't have management bandwidth to manage them, it's pointless. So at the end of it, we got to make them successful. We got to make that investment effective. So I think what I'm really saying to you is that 17%-18% is what you should take as going forward.
Got it. Got it. And just one question on tax rate. So we would be at 25%-26%, or like last year was lower, this year the first half was a bit higher. So I know quarter on quarter things can change, but just generally as a year-end number, what should the tax rate be?
The tax rate should be between 24% to 25% effective.
Got it. And the other income that we have, so are there any MTM in this or any realized gains in this, or is it like what do we have in terms of our, what is the major constituent of other income?
The other income major constituent is the realized gain and the unrealized gain. Both will be there.
Right.
Both are a component. That's the main component. The exchange gains basically.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
We thank everyone for taking our time to participate in this call and for their interest in FaxSoft. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. In case of any other queries, please reach out to us or our investor relations advisors, Valorem Advisors. Thank you everyone for joining us.
On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.